Have you embraced God's call on your life through faith? Mary's a wonderful example of that for us.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I'm going to start off with an embarrassing admission, a terribly embarrassing admission. I want you to know that I have been watching those Hallmark Christmas movies again. You know, I thought that I had kicked the habit of that, but apparently not. And even as I speak here now, I have more set to record on my DVR. Please pray for me. You might ask, you know, why? Let's face it, they're pretty silly, aren't they? They are. But why are they so appealing to so many people? Happy endings, that's right. Well, then the same ending, yeah. Actually, they're all the same movie, really, aren't they? You know, they're all the same movie. But, yeah, so they're all the same movie. Why is that so appealing? Well, if I might go spiritual on us here for a minute, but I think it's true. You know, I think they speak to our hearts, a part of our hearts that is longing, that is yearning for redemption, for healing. They speak to a part of our hearts that cries to be healed from pain of life in this fallen world. And so I think that they're a cry for hope is what they are. And as I've said before, you know, we talk a lot at this church about hope. We talk about how you can have hope for today and hope forever in Christ. And again, when the scriptures speak about hope, it doesn't just mean a wish or a desire for something that may or may not come true. No, when the scriptures speak of hope, it's a sure thing. It's a certain thing. It is a sure and certain promise of things to come. See, biblical hope consists of the good promises and plans of God, backed up by the almighty power of God and the holy, just, and loving character of God. So what is that hope? Well, that hope is it's eternal life and blessing forever in the presence of God. That hope is God's promise that one day soon He will resurrect our frail and sick and mortal bodies and transform them into glorious resurrected bodies that will never get sick or die. That hope is that God is going to make a new heaven and a new earth that will be forever set free from the presence of the consequences of sin. As John tells us in Revelation, no more death, no more disease, no more sorrow, no more pain. And you can share in that hope too through faith in Christ. So Christmas is a celebration of hope. Because at Christmas we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, who is the one who achieved that hope and who now offers it freely to all who believe. So let's celebrate then this sure and certain hope together this Christmas. Today then we continue our series in Christmas Celebrating Hope, looking today at Mary's trust, at Mary's faith, Mary's confidence in her God. And we will be challenged along with Mary to embrace God's call on our lives. Have you embraced God's call on your life through faith? Mary's a wonderful example of that for us then. So before we look at our passage in Luke chapter 1, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Before we look at that then, a little context here first. Luke is, as he says at the beginning of his gospel here, says he is compiling a narrative of the things that have been accomplished among us. What has been accomplished among us? Well, God has sent a Savior. a Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver us from the judgment for sin, to forgive us and to bring us life, eternal life and hope. So his birth in this world, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven. And then Luke continues the story. Jesus wasn't done yet in the world. He continues the story then in the Acts of the Apostles. But you know what? Acts chapter 28, that's not the end of the story either, is it? The story of Jesus' work, his redeeming, saving work, continues then even today. It's right here this morning in this room. So as we read of these events concerning this visit by the angel Gabriel to Mary and the circumstances of how Jesus was born, you know, many believe, and I think it's quite likely, that Luke was told these events personally by Mary herself. So we're getting an eyewitness view via Luke here of these events. The angel Gabriel had appeared some 500 years before to the prophet Daniel in exile in Babylon. He had appeared just shortly before this time when he appeared to Mary, to Mary's relative, Elizabeth, where he told her that she was about to conceive in her old age. But Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, he doubted that. He didn't believe that. And as because of that, he was struck silent. He was not able to speak until the birth of her son, which was John the Baptist. So now then, about 6 months later, this same Gabriel appears to Mary, and he has a stunning message for her. I want you to imagine, just if you could just put yourself for a moment in Mary's position. You're a young girl, you're probably 14 or 15 years old. You're excited about a life. You're going to soon be, you're betrothed, engaged, which was, for all practical purposes, like being married is in our day and age, but you were not yet living together as husband and wife, and you did not have sexual relations yet until you would then later live together. So she is in this betrothal period. Imagine what she's thinking. What is her life going to be like? What dreams, plans, hopes does she have for her life and a family of her own one day? And then her plans got interrupted. Has God ever interrupted your plans or your life? He has mine. Well, imagine an interruption like this one. Scripture tells us, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So this angel Gabriel appears in the sixth month. That is, her relative Elizabeth was 6 months into her pregnancy. Now, in the case of Elizabeth, it certainly was a very unusual birth, a miraculous birth, but it wasn't a virgin birth. It was a normal birth, except that she had been barren, but the Lord enabled her to conceive. So it was unusual in that regard. And it was something that was designed to serve to serve as a reassurance to Mary. See, that God is powerful, that God can do all things. There's nothing impossible for God. And so in this sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, news then comes to Mary through the angel Gabriel. Mary lived in the town of Nazareth. You might say, so wait a minute, Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Why? Well, Jesus was born in Bethlehem because Joseph and Mary had to make that trip to Bethlehem from Nazareth. So we see God was in charge of that. God figured out a way to get them from Nazareth to Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy, didn't he? That wasn't too hard for God to do, to figure that out, was it? So Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. So there is Mary still in Nazareth at this time. The angel appears to her. I say Nazareth. Now, the truth is that Nazareth didn't have a particularly good reputation. It was not the place to be from. Kind of a backwater town with a bad reputation. In fact, in the Gospel of John, one of the disciples whom Jesus had called said, "This Jesus is from Nazareth here," and are saying, "We think he is the Messiah." And a response saying, "Nazareth? Messiah is from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" You know, we have a little bit of that issue here in our community. You know, I think I've told you, I know people say this, maybe some say it with affection, or maybe not, I don't know. But others, there's a nickname for Wonder Lake that I've never liked. You know what it is. Well, Nazareth had a reputation kind of like that. And so, could anything good come from Nazareth? I say, can anything good come from Wonder Lake? God loves to act in unusual ways, do things in unusual ways, doesn't he? So Gabriel appears to this young woman, a girl, teenage girl. She's a virgin, and she is betrothed to Joseph. She is almost married to him, not quite. They don't live together yet. They're not having sexual relations. And this angel says to her, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, I don't know about you, but if an angel appeared to me and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you," I might say, "Well, isn't that great? I am the favored one here." Well, actually, I don't know if I'd say that at all. You know what? I think I might respond the way Mary did. What did Mary say? She was troubled by that. You'd think she'd be thrilled with a greeting like that, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think? But she's troubled by this greeting. What's to be troubled by being a favored one and that the Lord is with you? Well, I think what she was troubled by was, well, who, me? Who, me? I'm the favored one? What do you want with me? What do you mean I'm favored by God? What do you mean the Lord is with me? Now, this is an unusual thing to be given an audience with an angel and be told you are a favored one, that the Lord is with you. How could a young girl like that be the object of God's great favor and blessing? Why me? Says Gabriel, says, you have found favor with God. He says, what? You will conceive and bear a son. You will call his name Jesus. You know, Jesus is a New Testament version of an Old Testament name, Joshua, which means the Lord saves. Isn't that a great name for the Redeemer to be called? Jesus, Joshua, the Lord saves. And that he would be the Son of the Most High. You know, this is something we'll be looking at, especially in that coming up in that Explore God series, is Jesus God? And I might say, well, the scriptures clearly say he's the Son of God, but does that mean he's God? Well, Yes, being the son of in Scripture means that if you are the son of something, it means that you are like that. You are identical to that in some ways. It is a description of you. And so to be the son of God means to be God. You are like God. You are being described as God. You are the son of the Most High. You are the son of God, Jesus. This Jesus would be. So this Jesus, then, would be conceived miraculously by a virgin, through a virgin, the virgin birth. And he would inherit the throne of his father, David. You see, Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was also a human being, wasn't he? He had a human origin, that is, his body and his human spirit, a human origin like we do, but he has no ultimate origin. He is the origin of all things, isn't he? Because he is God. So he has no beginning. He is God, but he is also man, human, just like us, but without sin. So he would inherit the throne of his father, David. He would reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will never end. You know what? Nations come and go, don't they? Rulers come and go, nations come and go, empires come and go. But this kingdom will never go. It will never end. So here is this young girl then who receives this incredible news, but she's troubled by it. Why? Because she thinks, who? Me? But then she understandably wonders, how can this be? You see, Mary rightly understood that the angel was not saying to her, well, yes, when you live with Joseph, you'll have normal relations and you will conceive a son then and name him Jesus. She realized, no, this is now without being with a man. She understood that it was a virgin birth. And that's why she asked, how can this be since I am a virgin? And the answer is this miraculous event. Where the power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And so this child then will be holy, the Son of God. He is God. God and man, human, both. So is it important that we believe? We just sang a little bit earlier in the Creed about I believe in the virgin birth. Is the virgin birth an important thing for us to understand and believe from the Word of God? Absolutely it is. It's a critical part of our faith. See, because the virgin birth tells us that Jesus was no ordinary man. Now, he was a man, just like us in every way, but without sin. But he wasn't only a man. He was God as well, and is God as well. And he came to be through the virgin birth, through the conception by the Holy Spirit, united with humanity in the womb of Mary then. So his birth was not an ordinary birth. If he were the biological son of Joseph, he would not be the son of God. He was the son of God, and he was conceived by the virgin birth in order that he might be the Son of God, but also, though, I believe, that through the virgin birth, it protected him from inheriting sin, the sin nature, which comes to us through our father, Adam, that we all receive from Adam in our birth. So Jesus is God, but Jesus was also without sin. And that's because of and through the virgin birth. So through this, then, this child is holy. Now, when we say that Jesus is holy, that means that he is, well, he never committed any sin, right? He knew no sin. He never committed any sin. He never rebelled against the moral law of God. He never did anything wrong in thought, word, or deed. How many of us here can make that claim? That you've never sinned, you've never done anything wrong in thought, word, or deed. And I've put this challenge out before then too. It's like, aren't you glad too that our redemption, being saved in Jesus, isn't just wiping the slate clean so that now we can try real hard not to sin again. That's not salvation, is it? How long would you last if the slate was wiped clean, your sins were forgiven, and now God said, okay, now try real hard not to sin. Just go forth and don't sin anymore now. I don't know how many seconds I would last. So no, Jesus is holy not only because he didn't sin, but he is holy in his nature as well. That is, he never had the sinful nature within him that we have. The sinful nature, the sinful disposition, he never had that as well. He is holy. So Mary asked, well, how can this be? And the angel says, by the power of the Holy Spirit who will come upon you and overshadow you, this child will be called holy. He is God, he is man, he is without sin. He goes on to say, and the angel reminds her, your cousin, your relative, Elizabeth, is already in her sixth month. If God can do that, he can do this. Nothing is impossible with God. You know, I've often wondered, sometimes people can struggle a little bit with the doctrine of the virgin birth, and I wonder, wait a minute. You say you believe in God who created all the universe out of nothing, but you struggle with a virgin birth. Is that too hard for the God who made all things out of nothing to do? I don't think so. I don't think so. For nothing is impossible with God. But then I want us to focus then on Mary's response. I wonder how I might have responded. Well, actually, I wouldn't be in exactly that same situation, would I, as Mary was. But maybe also just an incredibly impossible situation by human reason and normal methods. God said, this will happen. How might I have responded? How might you have responded to that? Well, now Mary responded. She responded with faith, with trust. She believed it. She says there, what? Behold, I am the servant of the Lord, and let it be to me according to your word. Lord, I'm your servant. As you will, whatever you say, I accept what you say. I believe what you say. May it be so then, what you say for me. Powerful statement of faith, of trust, of confidence there, isn't it? Understand there, this is not a little statement she's making. She isn't only saying, well, I know that this is a very difficult thing to believe. This is not something, a virgin birth doesn't happen every day. And that can only happen by the power of God. But okay, if you say it, I believe it. Now she is saying that, she believes that. But there's more to it than that. What else is she saying? She's saying, may it be to me according to your word. She's saying, she says, I will embrace what that means. Did you know there was a cost? There was a cost for that, for believing that. Now, she would later come to understand and experience the fullness of that cost. But even right there from the beginning, she knew there was a price to be paid. You see, faith, salvation, deliverance in Christ is free. It's a gift of God. But that doesn't mean there isn't a cost we might pay in some way. Not that we can do anything to achieve or earn the favor of God or the gift of God. We can't. But believing him may bring consequences into our lives, and that's a cost we may pay then. Sometimes difficult or painful consequences. So for Mary, what was she saying? May it be so. I'm willing to accept this. What was she saying? I am willing to accept. I will take ridicule. I will accept rejection. I will accept the possibility of abandonment. I will accept the the possibility of poverty and disgrace for the rest of my life. For all she knew, that is what she was facing. Because when this virgin girl is now pregnant, people are going to, you know what people are going to think? What would you think? Oh, sure, you're a virgin, right? They're going to say what? She engaged in immorality. She is pregnant from that. And she's making up this ridiculous story now. So she would be subjected to the ridicule of that. But then her betrothed husband, Joseph, what might he say then? Well, I'm done with you. In fact, Scripture tells us that Joseph had determined to put her away until the Lord spoke to him. So she was facing ridicule. She knew she was facing rejection by Joseph. And what did that mean at that time? For a young woman to be rejected, abandoned, probably meant a life of poverty and disgrace, doing whatever she had to just to get by. But nevertheless, Mary says, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. That's trust, that's confidence. Now, as she would later come to learn and understand more, there was another price that she paid, wasn't there? Imagine can you imagine the pressure of being the mother of the Redeemer, the Messiah? Joseph and her raising this God-man. No pressure there, right? But then also being told that she was going to suffer great pain. Of course, what was that pain? The pain was watching her son be rejected and crucified. But aren't you glad the story doesn't end with crucifixion, though? There's a glorious resurrection and triumph over the grave. And so Mary saw that too. But there was a price that she paid. There was a price that she paid for her trust. You might ask, well, so what? What does this story of something that happened to someone else a long time ago in another part of the world have to do with me here today? Well, I would challenge us that by looking at this example here of Mary and her faith and her trust in God, and God's plan on her life, I would remind us all of the need to embrace God's call. Embrace God's call on your life. Just want to ask a few questions about that call, God's call on your life. First is this, do you trust God's view of you? You might know, well, that's kind of an odd question to me. That's kind of an odd question. Do you trust God's view of you? Why? Because remember, this was a troubling greeting. Who, me? I'm the fit. What? I have found favor in your eyes. God, you're talking to me? See, she couldn't imagine that she could possibly. How could young Mary from Nazareth be the mother of the Messiah? How could this be? Who, her? And maybe you think, who, me? God, you want to do something in my life? You want to bless me? You want to use my life to be a blessing for others? I tell you, I say this in all sincerity here, I don't think there's a day that goes by here when I don't have to have a little conversation with God about, Lord, you know who you're dealing with here, right? Who, me? You want me to do what? You let me serve in the position I do. You let me do what I do. You let me stand up in front of people and proclaim your word. You know who I am, right? We may all feel that way. But you know what? It isn't about you and it isn't about me. It's about what God can do in us. So do you trust God's view of you? You're not worthy. I'm not worthy. None of us are. But God says, I'm going to do it through you anyway. Do you trust God's power for you? How did this happen with Mary? By the power of God Almighty, right? Well, God unleashes his power in your life and my life to accomplish his will or his purposes. I wonder, do you trust God's plan for your life? Do you trust what God says about you? Do you trust God's power unleashed on your behalf? Do you trust God's plan or purposes for you? You know, I don't know everything that God has planned for me. I've seen some of that, but you know what? I didn't figure that all out ahead of time and then say, okay. I just simply had to say, yes, Lord, I trust you. Your will be done. And the same thing for you then here today. You don't have to figure out everything that God is going to do in your life beforehand and then say, okay. We simply say yes right now. May it be to me according to your word. And trust him. Trust him to work through you for good in your life and in others. Yes. Let's pray. Lord, we do say yes. We do say yes to you. We do choose to embrace your call on our lives. Lord, we thank you that through faith in Jesus, we can turn away from sin and death and embrace forgiveness and life and hope in Jesus. Thank you for that. Thank you for him, for all he did for us. We thank you for that gift. And Lord, we don't feel worthy of you, and we're not. But you say you have purposes and plans for our lives, that you have planned from the beginning of the world. Before the earth was even made, you knew us, you loved us, and you had plans and purposes for our lives. So we say yes to that. We believe in your power to accomplish all that you will. We trust your purposes and plans. And Lord, we know that there's a price as well. That saying yes, trusting in you, embracing your purposes and plans doesn't mean that life is going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be hard sometimes. But we say yes because we are your servants and you are worthy of our confidence and faith and trust. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.